Hi, I'm David Andrews, New England football captain and Roach Brothers shopper. My family and I choose Roach Brothers for the highest quality produce delivered to the store every day and an on-site butcher so I can get a premium meat cut to order from my smokers and grill and a wide selection of game day food like their wing bar. Plus, their great Roach Brothers products like Roach Brothers Moose Tracks ice cream. So stop by your local Roach Brothers for everything you need for your game day spread. Football, food, and fun at Roach Brothers.
B-Pod Studios.
All right, it's hour number two, Felger and Maz, here on Tuesday, January 4th. That means it's a big boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. We're brought to you by DraftKings, both on the radio side, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and the simulcast, which beams across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. As promised, back to your phones. Here's JD. What do you got, JD?
Hey, I think Russell Wilson is next year's quarterback.
Okay, well, that would be sexy. Okay, and I'll cut you off there. I mean, so Greg brought this up before about, you know, do the Patriots have to consider, you know, what they're doing at quarterback in the next couple of years? Because if Mac Jones isn't the guy, then you got to go find the guy. And I think in terms of the draft, they got the guy. There is no way, and I'm happy with him being the guy. I think he is a franchise quarterback, but not going to be a, you know, top 10 Hall of Famer kind of player. That's fine. You can not everyone can be that. But the one caveat is if one of these veterans drops in their lap. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Greg, is he 38?
Yeah, it's up there, 37, 38.
And I think Wilson's a little younger, like 33. I want to say. So Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson's a no-brainer at 26 or whatever he is. But if you get Russell Wilson at 33 and these guys now play into their early 40s, oh, I'd consider moving on from Mac Jones for a guy like Russell Wilson.
Sure. Yeah, sure. But that's basically where the cutoff is, right? Like, I would say Rodgers is a little too old. If you're going to do that, you should have kept Brady. You know, like, not to revisit that whole thing again. And Watson is a slam dunk. But at the risk of invoking a name that's going to make people wretch, okay? And I understand. So let me just tell you, I am not comparing Mac Jones to this guy in terms of toughness, okay? I'm not comparing him.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Okay?
Do it.
But
do it.
You know who his game is like at this stage?
Do it.
Tony Eason. His game is like Tony Eason's game at this stage of his career. What?
I thought you were going the Paisan there out in San Francisco.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, Jimmy G, please, Jimmy G's got more talent than this kid. Jimmy G has more ability than Mac Jones.
But Mac Jones way tougher than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, I said I'm not including toughness. I'll tell you, in terms of his game, and Mike, look, a lot of people don't remember Tony Eason. Champagne Tony Eason was one of a first-round quarterback who was, you know, taken in the early to mid-80s in that great quarterback draft of 83, I think it was, where seven quarterbacks were taken in the first round. The Patriots ended up...
You passed on Marino to take Tony Eason.
Right. The Patriots ended up going to a Super Bowl with Eason, although Grogan played a bunch of the games that year, and Eason was as soft as a sneaker full of dog crap. Okay, but that aside, he had limitations in his game, and ultimately, you know, he had a winning record in 50 career starts. He went 28-23, but it never got any better than that. So I don't know yet that he's anything more than Tony Eason was, and I'm going back a ways. I don't expect that the younger members of our audience would have a total grasp on that. But, like, Eason had no arm and was kind of vanilla. And I would say guy is vanilla.
And was surrounded by garbage. And I don't mean the players on the roster. I mean, Ray Barry was a fine coach. But, you know, the organization wasn't what it is today,
true,
obviously. And I think and that's going to get more out of Mac Jones. Here's Terry in Connecticut. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey. How you guys doing?
Good, Terry. What do you got?
Yes,
go.
No, I'm trying to be quick because I know you guys don't want me to take too long. I think the Patriots suck. to be honest with you. I think.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? I'll just let you go on that. That's good.
Right to the point.
Greg, I'm putting you on the spot. I didn't prep you on this. We did Maz's tiers yesterday. He's got a tiered system of ranking NFL teams. Do we have Bedard tiers? Where would you, if you did off the top of your head, a Greg Bedard NFL power ranking, where would you put the Patriots?
Well, I would do this, and I am going off the top of my head, but in terms of, you know, teams that I think have the potential to win a Super Bowl, that are legit Super Bowl contenders, I would put the Packers, the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Rams and Tampa Bay. Those would be my top tier. The Patriots would not be in that tier. On the next level, I would have a whole bunch of them probably headlined by Buffalo, but, you know, basically everybody else that is in contention: Dallas, Cincinnati, Buffalo, New England, probably not Indy, and Arizona would be the next tier.
There you go, Murray.
Yeah, but Dodd's tears.
Dodd's tears.
Tennessee.
So Greg, I was going to say, you put Tennessee up there.
Well, I am just saying if they are fully healthy, and I haven't checked in on them in a while. If they get A.J. Brown, they get Julio, they get Henry back, hell yeah. To me, they're the one team I don't want to see as the Patriots. I think they can handle the Chiefs and frustrate Mahomes. I think they can do the same thing with Josh Allen and the Bills. They know how to play them. I just think if the Titans are at full strength and Henry's good and he's on the ball and he's 100%, I don't think the Patriots can stop that team. I don't think they can stop the run. They're going to have to put more resources. That'll free up things on the outside. I think they know how to play the Patriots offense. I don't like any matchup with the Titans. I want to run away from them, if healthy.
Bob in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Bob. What do you got, Bob in Fitchburg?
Yes. What were your predictions at the beginning of the year for the Patriots record?
So, at the very beginning, Bob, I had them at 11 wins and contending for the division.
Oh, so you're basically on track right now, huh?
Thank you. That is right. Okay. And I think a lot of people had that too, Bob. Now, okay, I'll let you go. If you asked me in October, I sort of jumped ship. And Maz really jumped ship.
Big time.
Talk about Tony Eason. Maz had this team as the 1991 New England Patriots. Rod Rust, 1-15. I wasn't that bad, but I sort of jumped ship in October. So if you had asked me then, I'd say, I think I said it, no path. There is no path. So they've overachieved or surprised me if you put the time stamp in October. But going back to the beginning of the year, this is what I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be this last year.
I'll tell you, Greg, I'm curious as to your thoughts on this, because I said this yesterday. That bad start, I don't cut them a pass on that. In retrospect, I go back to those games and I say Miami and New Orleans, if you would split those games at home, again, you mentioned this as it pertained to Buffalo and Indianapolis, but if you split those games early in the year, you're on track to win the division. You might have a chance at the top seed. To come out of the gate 2-4, they just were not ready to go.
You could certainly say that. It's fair, Maz. I'm not gonna argue with it. Especially, I mean, the Dolphins game, wasn't that the Damian Harris fumble when they were about to go in to take the lead? So, look, there were a bunch of swing plays early in the year, but to me, it didn't matter. I mean, if they just split, look, this Colts and Bills game were real playoff contenders, real matchups. You had a chance to not only, all you had to do is split. And at least one of those victories would have shown people something that, like, hey, this Patriots team is for real. I mean, what's their best win besides this? The Chargers, who are not yet in the playoffs, who I don't think are a great outfit at this point. They may be down the road, but I just think, no matter what happened early in the season, it was there for them. All they needed was a split, and they would be the number one seed in the AFC going down to Miami. That's all that matters to me. I don't care what happened early in the season. It was all in front of them. They knew that. They certainly knew that playing at home against Buffalo, and they choked. By the way, I was just looking back. My preseason prediction was 11-6, second in the AFC East to the Bills. I had the Pats over the Bills in the first round in the wild card, but losing at Kansas City in the divisional round.
Okay, well, aren't you Mr. Smarty Pants?
Exactly,
Michael,
yeah.
Go ahead, Michael. Yeah, what do you got?
Guys, so very likely New England's going to be a wild card team, but I want to ask you guys, should they be kicking themselves for that rough start, or do you think perhaps it could be a blessing in disguise because they can learn from those mistakes? And they've had more road wins, I believe, on this year than home wins, so maybe that's
all right.
Something.
Yeah, Michael. No, not a blessing in disguise. You'd rather be home. You'd rather have a bye. You'd rather win the division than not win the division. I don't care what you learn from a loss. If a loss sends you on the road in the playoffs versus being at home, that is not a good thing. That is a bad thing. Sorry. No shot. No sale. And
I think
you're right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think one of the most disappointing things about this team, that if they're looking to kick themselves, you know, not only are they 4-5 at home, but they got the benefit of the 17 game schedule, getting an extra game at home, and they lost it. I mean, they went 4-5 at home. If you're looking for a reason why, you know, they're not in certain position, it's how bad they played at home.
All right, 10 questions with Bedard comes your way right after this.
This on-demand sports hub content is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Be sure to enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. 40% alcohol by volume. Imported by William Grant & Sons Incorporated, New York, New York.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to stay on time. Jimmy, why don't you give us our buzzer options, please?
Your friend Greg Broussard.
The late great, and we did get confirmation on the passing of our great caller, a great part of the Felger and Maz show, guy in Boston, passed away.
What, really?
Weekend, and yes, Greg. So that's, you know, you had a special relationship. I'd say special with guy in Boston. So
he loved me.
There's that. I mean, maybe this is a memorial. Go ahead, Stu.
Eric Rowe, I'm 70 years old and a walker, and I could get separation on him. Listen, you guys are talking about the Patriots paying receivers. I don't know if you noticed. They don't even pay their quarterback. Then Bill, we trust. Thank you.
This is the last one that's not guy in Boston related, but it was too good not to put in here.
All right.
Then Bill, we trust.
My mistake.
That is guy in Boston. Yeah, good.
I just can't stay inside all day. That's as far as I know. That's all I got. I'm sorry. Yeah. Not great.
McBone.
What is that?
That's Tim McCone singing Sunshine Day.
It was pathetic.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
I just can't stay inside all day. That's as far as I know. That's all I got. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's not great. That's not part of the lyric. No, that's not even what they say. All right, number 10, Jimmy, hit it.
I just can't stay inside all day. That's as far as I know. That's all I got. I'm sorry. Yeah. Not great.
Number 10, the Washington football team will be revealing their new name February 2nd. The 8 finalists are thought to be Armada, the Presidents, the Brigade, the Red Hawks, the Commanders, the Red Wolves, which I guess the team has come out today and said that will not be the Red Wolves, but it was a finalist before, Defenders, and football team. Which one do you like?
Well, I will say, I do not like the Commanders because, as Chris Gasper said on Twitter, there's a negative connotation from The Handmaid's Tale, and I'm a big fan of that show. I like the Red Hawks. I think it flows easier, allows them to keep the color scheme. I like the Red Hawks.
I do like the Commanders. I didn't know about the negative connection. I also don't mind the Armada. I'm not generally a fan of team names without S's, but, you know, the Washington Armada, like, I think it should have some sort of connotation or connection to the nation's capital.
Honestly, if it's not going to be Red Wolves, which it should be, they should just keep it as Washington Football Team, because I've actually grown to enjoy it.
Okay, so I think the Commanders and Defenders are the best. And you know me, I need an S, so I can't handle the Armada or the Brigade. You got to have an S. It has to be plural. As I'll discuss here in a second, I've grown tired of animal team names that certainly have nothing to do with the location that you're in. I mean,
thank you.
Are there Red Wolves in Washington, D.C.? It's like just stupid. You just come up with, it's like the Kraken. They come up with some sort of mythical animal that has nothing to do with your location. To me, the best team names have some sort of connotation to where the team is and about the city and the people. And it's not about some wolf or some bird or some cat. And it certainly has an S at the end of it. So that, long story short, Commanders, Defenders are the two best. Presidents is third. And, oh, by the way, I am aware of The Handmaid's Tale. In fact, I have my daughters refer to me as Commander from time to time in the house. when I'm feeling that I need I've lost some control, I will wake up and I will tell the 9-year-old, today you refer to me as Commander.
Sounds
and
very
she actually
normal.
Does it.
Blessed
no,
be the fruit, very, Felger.
It's very blessed be. It's very gratifying. Next.
In Bill we trust. Thank you.
What is currently the best team name in the league?
Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just perfect for the city. Everything's perfect.
So I got a few. One is I always like Buffalo Bills just because of the, you know, the that they named him after a single historical figure. I like the Niners, 49ers, also a good one, represents the region, and, you know, it's basic, but Dallas Cowboys is pretty solid.
Raiders, it just sounds mean. You're a Raider. You're coming to town. You can do anyone you want. You take names. You kick some ass. Raiders.
So you guys mentioned these, but again, a team name that represents the city. So the Steelers, amazing. The Cowboys, terrific. I even like the Patriots. I think the Patriots is a good team name. The Packers, you know, it's kind of antiquated. Meatpacking business is what it was, but that's the same sort of thing. Like, those are the team names that I think are really the best. And so, Steelers, Cowboys, Packers, absolutely. Niners, I guess I'd put on that list too. And I do. I like the Patriots. Next.
Your friend Greg Broussard.
What is the worst team name, Greg?
By the way, Guy had some really good drops with me, including, I think one time he said, I didn't know diddly or something like that. So that was a good one. The worst team name to me, Arizona Cardinals. First of all, it's like two cities ago, Chicago and then St. Louis. And then what the hell is a cardinal? It's not even a mean bird. What does it have to do with the desert? Throwing a cactus or something.
Yeah, I had that one on my list, too. Talk about that. That is just awful. Washington Football Team is obvious, so I included that one. But I'll give you another one that I think is really dumb. Tennessee Titans. What do the Titans have to do with Tennessee? What do they have to do with Tennessee?
Well, there's some. Look up some of the deep connotations of that team name and that logo. It's actually not so pretty. Go ahead.
I'm going with the Texans. It's not an animal. It's not a mythical creature. It doesn't sound cool. All it conjures up is a vision of a big belt-buckled fatso stuffing their face with their overrated barbecue. I hate the name Texans.
Okay, the worst team names, again, as I've said, are the generic Falcons, Panthers, Cardinals. I'll even put Hawks, Seahawks on there. I know they're a little more indigenous to that area, but still it's like... Bears, it's so historical you have to like it, but were there Bears ever in Chicago? I mean, I don't know. It's like, if you're going to have an animal, it's got to be an animal that has something to do with your town. So I'm just not into the, but believe me, the birds and the cats, I'm done with birds and cats. Done. Next.
Ding.
Ding.
Eric Rowe, I'm 70 years old and a walker, and I could get separation on him.
Who's Craig, who's your league MVP?
Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's really a contest. I mean, I think it showed when he was not in the lineup. That team was terrible. To me, it's far and away Aaron Rodgers.
I'm trying to add another name to the list, but this guy deserves serious consideration. Joe Burrow, quarterback, Cincinnati Bengals. Second in the league in quarterback rating and passer rating. He's a stud.
I'm with Greg, Aaron Rodgers.
Next.
I just can't stay inside all day. That's as far as I know. That's all I got. I'm sorry. Yeah. Not great.
Coach of the year.
Mike Vrabel. That team wasn't very good to start with, and then with all the injuries, to be in position to have the number one seed in the AFC, it's clearly Mike Vrabel.
Matt LaFleur or Zach Taylor, either one. Like the Packers win 12, 13 games every year. Did I read right that they were the first team to win 13 games 3 years in a row? Like something like that?
Yes.
It's something crazy. It's an incredible stat. And did anybody pick the Bengals to win the division? Really? Did anyone pick the Bengals? That's a great story.
It's Vrabel, because for what Greg was saying, no other coach has lost the MVP of their team in week 8 of the season than Derrick Henry, and no other coach in NFL history has had to use 88 players in a season. Like, they've been decimated, and that they're the one seed, that's insane.
Does Bill Belichick get any votes?
Sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but he doesn't win. Big of you guys. Next.
Right. In Bill, we trust. Thank you.
Number five, on the order of tool bag wide receivers in NFL history, where does Antonio Brown rank? Why don't you do this for me? Give me your top three or top five biggest tool bag receivers of all time.
Antonio Brown is number one for me, and my list is just because I think there's a DB factor, like a mean, like gross break the law type of factor there, which puts him over the top. So I got Antonio Brown, Terrell Owens, Keyshawn Johnson, Randy Moss, and Ocho.
Okay, my first two are the same. A.B., T.O., O.B.J. Those three guys, three absolute freaking spoons.
Mine is Antonio Brown, clear number one, precipitous drop-off, then Terrell Owens, Keyshawn Johnson, Freddie Mitchell, and then Chad Johnson.
Oh, there's just so many. You could give 10, right? I forgot Ocho Cinco, Randy Moss, of course, Terrell Owens, of course, Odell Beckham, complete tool bag. You can go on and on and on. It's unbelievable at that position. Next.
In Bill, we trust. Thank you.
All right, Dan Reeves passed away this past week. Did you know that he has the third most Super Bowl appearances in NFL history as a player and a coach? 9. He's behind, of course, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. How should Dan Reeves be remembered?
He's a Hall of Fame coach in my mind. I mean, you know, not only what he did as a player, but I think he's been criminally underrated, and I think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, to me, he'll always be remembered as the guy who had John Elway and couldn't win with him. You know, and he's tied for most Super Bowl losses of all time. I'm not telling you he sucked or anything like that, but are you asking me what would his legacy be? Going to 4 Super Bowls and losing them all.
Yeah, but I'm with Greg, though. Ultimately underrated. He turned around the Giants after the post-Parcells disaster and bringing that Falcons team to the Super Bowl in 98. I always kind of liked Dan Reeves.
Me too. And I like that, and I don't know if he did it all the way to the very end, but he might have been the last guy that wore a suit on the sideline. This is really a small thing, but he was an old school guy. I always thought he was a good coach. I like Dan Reeves. That's how I'm going to remember him. Next.
Listen, you guys are talking about the Patriots paying receivers. I don't know if you noticed. They don't even pay their quarterback.
Okay, we've got, and I know I sent a new 10 questions. I just want to make sure I didn't screw this up here. How should we remember John Madden?
I think, to me, he was a guy who, you know, especially as a young kid watching football on television, he made it fun. He made it accessible. You could understand the game in simple terms. So to me, I thought he was very responsible for just opening up the game of football to, you know, millions of people who didn't really understand it before him.
I mean, he was a big, big personality for a long time. And so to me, that is sort of the part of him that I'll always remember as the personality. And I'm including the coaching years, running up and down the sidelines with his arms waving around like a madman. I mean, he was invested. He was engaged in what he did. And I'll just add, how will people in New England remember him? as the guy who said they should take a knee at the end of the Super Bowl when they beat the Rams at 0-1.
Blah.
Football Santa Claus. The man was a delight to listen to, and I think he's the most important ambassador in NFL history, mostly for lending his name to the video game, which so many people grew up playing, and ultimately ended up liking the real game because of it. I loved John Madden.
Great point. Football Santa Claus is a great way to put it. He was one of the first NFL crossover stars. I say one of the first. He definitely wasn't the first. You know, Joe Namath or maybe even Howard Cosell preceded him on that. But he was a definite crossover star. I mean, even go back to the Miller Lite commercials. Right? He breaks through the, you know, like breaks through the paper there and the spot that might have been even before he sort of hit on as a broadcaster. But Maz mentioned something that it drives me nuts. The thing about, you know, you folks getting on him for saying they should take a knee at the end of the Super Bowl. Give me a break. Like, for Pete's sake, it wasn't that. It was wrong, I suppose. I mean, it was. But it wasn't that outrageous. It's not like Bill Belichick had Tom Brady go out there and throwing the ball 30 yards down the field. He had him checked down three straight times and then threw one ball down the field. It was three checkdowns, that crosser to Troy Brown, and then a little eight-yarder to Wiggy, and that was it. So it's not exactly like Bill had him go out there and sling it all over the place. Not exactly taking a knee. But John Madden wasn't that far off. So, you know, shove that up your ass. And, oh, by the way, what always bothers me is that what I've come to know has been on the record is that Daryl Stingley, you all remember Daryl Stingley, who was paralyzed in 1978 in a preseason game against Oakland. John Madden, while that dirtbag Tatum,
Jack Tatum.
Wrote a book about it. Yeah, Jack Tatum, they call me the assassin, and that dirtbag organization and those dirtbag players celebrated the how they hurt opposing players, and Jack Tatum never apologized to Daryl Stingley, never went to see Daryl Stingley, and not many people on the Raiders did because that is a garbage dirtbag franchise. The one guy that did is John Madden. John Madden and his wife went and saw Daryl Stingley just about every day in the hospital in Oakland while he was there recovering. And Daryl Stingley loved the guy. Daryl Stingley at every turn would tell you what he meant to him and what he meant to him at that time. And that's what John Madden should be remembered for. And so, like, those two things. Like, give me a break about taking the knee. Anyway, all right, last one.
Your friend Greg Broussard.
How should we remember Ben Roethlisberger? And just give me a quick answer because we're going to follow up on it the next segment. But how should we remember Ben Roethlisberger?
He was a really good quarterback for a long time. I thought he underachieved a bit, and just like the Steelers for much of his tenure, where they couldn't win a lot of the big games. They won a lot of the games they should have, not a lot of the games they shouldn't have.
I mean, to me, look, I respect the guy's ability as a player. He won a couple of championships. I never liked him as a guy, and I didn't like him on the way out as a guy. And so, I don't have a lot of respect for him as a human being. And I thought in the final years of his career, and we're talking four or five now, I thought he let himself get absolutely freaking huge and stop giving a crap. He's gigantic. He's fat and he's unmotivated. Now, again, would I put him in the Hall of Fame? Yes. Is he someone that I would, remember fondly? No.
I'll sum it up in three words. Overrated slob pervert.
Well, how do you like that? Yeah, I don't think that's going to go on his bust in Canton, but we'll pick up the Roethlisberger.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day. Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
Thing with your calls right after the update.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble. I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
To go out there and take a knee made it probably even more emotional and more real. It wasn't pretty, but it feels like that's been my style. Not pretty, but finding a way to win. And I think that's 92 wins here at Heinz Field, and that's what it's always been about for me, is winning football games.
So, Maz, you hear Ben Roethlisberger talk this past week, and that's just a cut from after the game last night. Do you get a whiff of his act at all?
Yes, of course. Totally. 100%. And that one last night in particular. Like, that's all I, you know, it wasn't pretty, but that's all I've ever been about is trying to win football games. The last 4 years?
Oh, my God.
Does he strike you as a guy who put an honest effort in to win the last 4 or 5 years?
He only won his last playoff game January 15th, 2017, 5 years ago.
Wow. Well, so this is, that's perfect. Perfect timing, because that's about when he stopped caring. Now, look, I think somewhere in there, and I say somewhere, I know he had an injury too, right? There was an elbow injury in there that obviously affected him greatly. But I would also tell you, he's fat. He's huge. He's been fat for 5 years. He's gigantic now. When you saw him run onto the field last night, you're looking at him going, oh, my gosh. It's like he was carrying a dresser. For crying out, he's gigantic. He's absolutely freaking huge.
I don't know if we've lost
him. I think, did we lose Felger? Oh, Bedard, are you still there?
No. Oh, there
I'm
we
still
go.
Here.
I'm sorry. I'm here. Yeah, that represents, he just sort of lost his edge there at the end, man. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, look, to me, there's nothing more telling than when you get that out of shape that you just stop giving a crap. So I get on, I'll get on pro athletes all day for being fat. I understand that, there are some people that can't control it. I get it. But when you're talking about an athlete and your livelihood is your body and you're making millions upon millions, I will not get off the backs of people like Roethlisberger and James Harden for being absolute freaking manatees out there. Huge.
Okay. Back to your calls with Greg Bedard. Here's Edwin in Boston. Go ahead, Edwin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So do you think if the Patriots had started 4-2, do you think they would have got rid of Stephen Gilmore, or do you think they were going to get rid of him regardless?
They were going to get rid of him regardless. Yeah, Edwin, I don't think that those were related. They weren't paying him. So that was going to end the way it was going to end. They weren't paying him whether they were 2-4 or 4-2. And so I do not think those things were related. But, Greg, is it fair to go back and second-guess that decision now?
I think we first guessed it at the time that it was like, okay, you're trading Stephon Gilmore. You're really thin in the back. You better not get another injury. And what happened? They got another injury and now they can't play man to man against anybody good anymore. So sure, it's a fair second guess. As far as Gilmore, I wouldn't say that they weren't going to pay him all the way. I think that they gauged his health and they decided that he wasn't going to be healthy enough to play up to his salary for the last half of the season. And so then they made an economical decision. I think if they thought Stephon Gilmore was going to be 100% for the end of the year, I think they would have at least entertained having him around.
We've got Chris in the car. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Hey, Greg. I love you on the show every Tuesday. I was wondering.
Appreciate it.
Two things. Why did they flex the Pats game? I don't understand the playoff seedings. I'm really, just haven't been really watching it. But why did they flex the playoff? I'm sorry. The Pats came to 4-15, and what do you want them to do? I mean, who do you want to face in the playoffs? That was two questions. Who do you want them to
face? Okay. Who do you want to face? Yeah, who do you want to face in the playoffs?
I would rather face the Bengals because I don't think their defense is worth anything. I think that the Patriots have a chance to score more points in that game. I think their defense is garbage. I think that while I have great respect for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and sort of the weapons in Cincinnati, I think the Patriots can mitigate the damage in that game. And the Bengals have a wretched offensive line. I think they can handle Joe Mixon. I think they can hold them to a certain point, and I think the offense can score against the Bengals. Other teams I have questions about.
We're also forgetting another delicious narrative if we got Pats-Bengals in that first round. The cheating! Zach Taylor hates this team for the sneaky videotaping that mostly got swept under the rug a few years ago. What a way to bring that all back for this show, huh?
Ah, Maz, you want Cincinnati too, don't you?
I do. I want Cincinnati. Look, I know what Buffalo is, and I'm entertained by it. I'm not telling you I'm not. But Burrow, to me, is a fascinating character. He could be a significant obstacle on the road to the Super Bowl now for years to come, along with Patrick Mahomes. Now you get two great young quarterbacks in the conference. And I think it's a great contrast for Mac Jones. There's that. I want to see Burrow up close. I think it's a more winnable game for the Patriots. I'm with Greg on that one. I want to see Chase up close because I think Bill can mitigate that Bengals attack. I just think people are... Like, when I looked at it, Burrow is second in the league in passer rating. Only Aaron Rodgers is better. That's it. The only thing that Burrow has done is take a crap ton of sacks. So I think the Patriots can expose that. But, you know, when you get geeked up about Mac Jones here, I would tell you, look at the guy in Cincinnati and tell me whether you think that Jones will ever be able to do that. Because I don't think he will.
Let's pick this up. Pick this up on the other side. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheers to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And, of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent. The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill, I just wanted to ask you about Christian Wilkerson and just the decision to make him active, especially, you know, with Nikhil going down. Is that a special teams consideration or what goes into that decision for you and the staff? Sorry about the background noise there.
No worries. I can see you're multitasking here, so
not going real well, you can tell.
Yeah, we've all been there. Will gave us some plays in the kicking game and offensively, you know, he's had a couple good weeks of practice and a good week this week, and felt like he, you know, had earned the opportunity, and he made a couple plays yesterday to help the team. So it's a really kind of a week to week thing on who we activate and who's at the game and who isn't and so forth. And certainly last week there was a lot of fluctuation on the roster, as you saw from the beginning of the week to who was on the roster to the end of the week, who came back onto the roster. But those were all unknowns as we went through it. So and that's a little bit the situation that all teams are in right now, and a little bit of this time of year. So we'll take it really day by day.
All right, let's get to the Christian Wilkerson topic. We'll do it with a couple calls who've been waiting on this very thing. How about Tim in Blackstone? Go ahead, Tim.
That is where I am at.
Tim A.
Nikhil. Guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Murray, if you got any nails, let me know, because that's where I'm at with Nikhil Harry's Patriots career. And you're right, but Greg, it's not about what Wilkerson did, but it's what Harry's consistently not done. Dropping passes, getting around punts when you should clearly be away from it. His football IQ is constantly being a detriment to this team. And I get, you know, he's a first-round pick. You got to get him out there and see what he can give you. But at this point in the season, he's more of addition by subtraction. And I think you have to give these young guys a chance because they at least give you a chance. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let me just follow that up with Ryan in Malden. Go ahead, Ryan. You're up next, line five. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Why is Nikhil Harry still on the Patriots? Really? I mean, he has been underperformed in every situation. I mean, what does Belichick see in him? Is it just because he's the number one draft pick? I mean, the number one pick? I mean, I don't see what they see in this guy.
All right, Greg, assess the situation going forward, please. Wilkerson, Nikhil Harry.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, Nikhil Harry being on the team, why is he? Yeah, part of it is a first-round pick. Part of it is just Belichick likes to have different chess pieces available for different matchups. Like, for example, the Buffalo game, you know, in the wind where, you know, Harry could be out there and use, you know, he's a big dude. He's big, strong dude. And you would think that he would help you in the running game. He does a little bit. So Bill likes to have those chess pieces. As far as, you know, Wilkerson and Harry, I mean, probably this is the end of Harry. I mean, look, Wilkerson is only out there because Nelson Agholor has been in concussion protocol. I mean, really, we're talking about the fourth spot at wide receiver on this team, whether it's N'Keal Harry or Christian Wilkerson or whatever. Gunnar Olszewski has the fifth role and the punt returner. So, you know, we're not talking about any major addition. Wilkerson was fine in this game. He did a nice job going through the zone defense and finding the back of the end zone for the touchdown. That was nice. His other touchdown was a complete busted coverage by the Jaguars, being suckered into the fake screen. Every team runs that play. Only the dumb ones fall for it. I thought it was more indicative where he is really. Not only did he have two drops in the game to go along with N'Keal Harry's usual one, but I thought the two plays down the right sideline, the vertical route that was too far. I didn't think he got enough separation there. And then there was a back shoulder throw with Mac Jones that he didn't really come close to. Those were more competitive plays that to me are more typical of where Christian Wilkerson is. To me, he's just a depth piece for this team.
Okay, but who should play going forward?
It doesn't matter. I mean, as long as Nelson Agholor is healthy, he's going to play. If he's not healthy, then Christian Wilkerson, I guess. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. I mean, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers are going to get more touches. And plus, the Patriots are always going to be a very heavy two tight end team, two back team. So I'm not really worried about the fourth wide receiver on this team.
I disagree with you. Just because I think Mac Jones has a little bit of a rapport out on the practice field and there's some value in that. You know, I think he may trust the player or likes the player, works with the player. There's nothing there with N'Keal Harry. So I'd much rather have a guy that the quarterback likes and is willing to throw to than a stiff like N'Keal Harry. So, I mean,
I'm not going to argue with that, Mike. I think that's fair. I'm certainly not going to argue, and I'm not going to argue on N'Keal Harry's benefit. That's for sure. But I will tell you that going forward, should Nelson Agholor be healthy, if you're seeing Christian Wilkerson on the field for the Patriots, that means they're trailing and having to throw all the time, and that's a bad sign.
All right, Greg, give me 60 seconds or 30 seconds, however much you think it's worth on the Dolphins this week. What are you looking for?
Well, I think they're going to get a real fight. I think the weather's going to be an issue. I think last I saw it was supposed to be 80 degrees, nearly 70% humidity down there. That's going to be tough for these guys. Probably the 425 game is going to help them in that regard, that it's not a 1 o'clock start. I think that the Dolphins are extremely limited on offense. I don't think that they can score. I don't think Tua is very good. I think the Patriots will exploit that. I am very interested to see how this offense operates against this Dolphins defense, especially the Patriots passing offense. I think it'll really be a good test for them, good prep for the playoffs, because Brian Flores and those guys know, Boyer, they all know how to defense the Patriots. They know what they want to do. They gave the Patriots a tough time. They didn't score much in the first matchup. Let's see if they've grown any. I think that they have, but let's see.
All right, Greg, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it, big boy.
See you, big boy.
Sounds good. Later, thanks, Greg. Guys.
Okay. Catch Greg next Tuesday here on Felger and Maz. Read him at the Boston Sports Journal. Give him a subscription. Come up next hour, we will continue with your football calls and mix in a Celtics and a Bruins minute as well. So we'll do that again, all starting after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
This on-demand sports hub content is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Be sure to enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time, Tully time. Please drink responsibly. 40% alcohol by volume. Imported by William Grant & Sons Incorporated, New York, New York.